The Lord be with you.
And
with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. It's such a powerful parable that Jesus preaches today in the gospel. I think I've said it often enough, but even a great homily ruins a good gospel passage, right? It's there for the taking, this parable, and I think we'd be right to cling to this one for a little while, use it in our daily prayer, give it some thought, see where it leads us in prayer, meditation. It's the most direct of Jesus's parables that we have, right? It's the most thinly veiled of the parables, and even to say that we don't quite get why it's a parable. It seems like a moral tale. Here's the Pharisee. Here's the guy who's opposing me and my mission. Here's the guy, the unworthy. He's not. He's coming along. So what is it that makes this a parable, except that Jesus is using it to give defense of his mission? He's giving here, in pictorial language, an explanation of himself and what he's up to. So we know that Jesus is, as he's God on the move, working his way through Israel, setting his face to Jerusalem, looking toward accomplishing the new exodus, the new liberation movement of God through his death and resurrection. And as he goes about his mission, Jesus is looking to liberate human hearts, one soul at a time. And we see it. We see it throughout the gospel. We see it throughout the gospel, every gospel that we have, and almost every page gives us the same story. Jesus's movement, Jesus's mission, is a renewal movement. He has come to renew Israel to be what God always intended them to be, which is the light to the nations. And it's in that context then that Jesus sets this parable. And the parable then, being set in that context, leads us to ask a certain set of questions and leads us to a certain set of answers as well. Jesus is defending his mission against the Pharisees and against the power brokers, the political rulers of his day. Are they religious? They have a thin veneer of religiosity. They use religion for their purposes, but they're the political rulers of his day. And lo and behold, they oppose him because he's a threat to their power. But St. Luke sums them up here. He addresses this parable to those who are convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Already, Luke has given us the end of the story. Are we convinced of our own righteousness? And if we are convinced of our own righteousness, where does that lead us? And already, they despised everyone else. And the question that arises right away is, how unlike God is that? Is that God or is it not? Is St. Luke, is Jesus pulling off that thin veneer of religiosity? Right? Attacking it, seeing how deep it goes. God does not despise. God is love. God is love, and he is love all the way through. And to them, Jesus addresses his parable. Who then is represented by the Pharisee in this, but those who are convinced of their own righteousness? Okay. We know how it plays out. It's powerful. What Jesus keys in on in the end is being justified, justification. So I want to look at that as our kind of second step here in the gospel. What does it mean to be justified, but that God, in a courtroom scene, at least using that metaphor, being justified is having God decide in your favor. And here we have two men presenting their case, and God decides in one man's favor over the other. Now, I would look at that word justified, and whenever I think of justification, I think, yes, of the massive amount of ink that's been spilled on these debates in the various Christian denominations throughout the centuries. But I actually think of Microsoft Word, because I think of, what does it mean to be left justified? What does it mean to be center justified? What does it mean to be right justified, right? We're looking at how our words there would line up according to the orientation of the page, right? Left, center, or right. We're lining up with an external standard when you look at justification. We're lining up with a standard. Again, left side of the page, right side of the page, right? When we look at the question of justification here in this passage, we should ask ourselves what the standard of justification is for the Pharisee. He is what? Self-justified. There's no external standard for him. He's not left, right, or center. He's self-centered. And so there's no opportunity in his self-centeredness, in his being closed in on himself, which is the result of sin, and we all suffer from this. He's being closed in on himself. He can't look out towards God. You want to see how damning Jesus' language is here? I'll give it to you. Pharisee took up his position. That was his position. And he spoke this prayer to himself. He spoke this prayer to himself. His prayer doesn't even reach outside of himself. It's all about him. And then everything, me, I thank you. I'm not like them. I'm not greedy. I'm always reminded people come into confession. I shouldn't say this, but I remember people come into confession and say, Father, I don't know, like, I want to confess. I didn't kill anyone. It's like, okay, great. You know? Here's my resume. I didn't kill anyone. I didn't do the big ones. It's like, okay, guys, but humility, right? And where do we see that? Because are we using ourselves as a standard, or is there another standard? And here we see the right standard. This is the whole of the gospel contained on this one page. This is the whole of Christian life on this one page. Humility. What is the standard? The standard is God. And not one of us can meet it. Not one of us can meet it. I personally cannot meet the standard of God. I cannot do it of my own strength. And as soon as I start down that road of compiling my religious resume, I'm walking away from him because I'm denying his mercy. And his mercy is all I need. And here, what do we have? We've got the Pharisee. Here's the religious resume. Here it is. This is what I've done to deserve it. Self-justification, closed off to God, and so closed off to the other, despising the other. And here's the hated, despised tax collector in his life doing everything wrong, can't get it straight. All he has to present to God is his need of God's mercy. But presenting that need, he receives it. So now pull it up again, right? And this is it. What makes this a parable? Jesus has come to make dead people alive. He's come to restore Israel to their vocation to be a light to the nations, to bring God's love to everyone they encounter. My friends, who in this passage walks away dead? And who walks away alive? Who in this passage walks away as a light to the nations? Let's take on the tax collector's habit of heart in our prayer. Beg for God's mercy, that we may be an instrument of his merciful love to everyone we encounter.